Joining us today from San Jose, California, is pop singer-songwriter Anya Kotar. Anya pairs her biting lyric with peppy, sunshiny pop for maximum juxtapositional impact. Her incredible music has led to her fan base growing stronger and faster with over 20,000 monthly streams on Spotify and more. She even competed in the Slovenian Song Festival in 2016. I am so excited to have her here with us on WJMS Radio. Anya, thank you so much for being here today. It is so great to meet you. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you so much for having me. It is such a pleasure and honor. I'm doing great. The weather is so nice here in California right now, so I'm just super excited to talk to you.
I betcha. And with, like, you know, I know we're having a heat wave out here on the East Coast. Are you guys pretty warm out there as well?
We actually had a heat wave basically all up until Halloween. And then then it's been kind of more, it's cooled down a little bit. We got our first dose of rain last week for the first time since probably April. So here we're like, oh, hallelujah, it's raining.
I love your energy.
Ah, thank you so much. I love yours.
Oh, thank you. So you live in San Jose, but you're originally from Slovenia. How did you, what brought you to the U.S.?
So I grew up, my whole family grew up in Slovenia. I was born and raised there. I started as a classical pianist. My mom saw me always dancing around the house. Ever since I can recall, I was always telling my mom, I'm going to be a singer. And then when she saw I was persistent, she put me in classical piano school when I was six. And so that was sort of classical music was my life back in Europe. I performed at different competitions, the Philharmonic, opera, all that stuff. I did like a piano trio with a violin and cellist. But I always knew that singing was my greatest passion. It's just that at the time I didn't really have an opportunity to tap into more of that pop world back in Slovenia. And so when I was 14, back in 2012, our whole family, so me, my parents, and my younger brother, decided we were going to move to, to the United States, I think mainly to, you know, sort of reach new heights, if you will. You know, I think we were setting bigger and bigger goals for ourselves. And I think especially for me and my brother, it was just sort of seen as this great stepping point to get new opportunities. And so the whole family moved here in San Jose. I remember it was crazy when we first got here. We didn't have anything, really. The only thing we knew was where me and my brother were going to go to high school. And we got here 2 days before high school started. So we didn't have any car, any house, no place of work, nothing. So we stayed at it was crazy. We stayed at like a long stay hotel motel type of situation for the first 3 months. And so I remember we packed all of our belongings back in Europe in, you know, cardboard boxes and put everything on a giant container, including my beloved upright piano. And that was traveling behind us. It didn't get here until like 2 months later. And so when I started going to high school, and I went to this fantastic high school that also had a great conservatory program. So once I got here, I was able to sort of start connecting my classical knowledge with what I always wanted to do, which was singing. And so I started being a part of the musical theater program at my conservatory. I sang with a jazz band, and I also started writing my own music. And it kind of started by, you know, I had no sheet music those first few months. I had no piano. So I went into a practice room at the conservatory. They had little practice rooms where you could go in play an instrument. And because I didn't have any of my, you know, Bach, Chopin to play, I started just kind of messing around on the keyboard and sort of accidentally wrote my first song.
Today.
And so that's kind of how that started. So that was a long answer to a short question.
That, you know, you killed two birds with one stone there. We really just got to know Anya. And now, did you grow up speaking English as well?
So Slovenian was always my first language, but I think my mom always thought that if me and my brother were going to do something in life, we would probably have to go beyond Slovenia's borders, just because it's such a tiny country. You know, it's, if you look it up on a map, it's shaped like a chicken. It only has 2 million people living in it. And I think in Europe especially, you know, you have such a concentration of different cultures and languages in one spot that it's, you have to have a universal language as soon as you want to go outside of your borders, because it's very hard to stay within just your own small country. So we actually had, we started learning English. We were like 3 or 4, pretty young. My mom started teaching us. And then we coincidentally had a teacher who moved from Texas to Slovenia.
Oh my gosh.
Which is the craziest thing. And I think that's how we got an American accent pretty early on because we would listen to her talk. And then funnily enough, just as we moved to Slovenia, I mean to the States, she also moved back to Texas.
Oh my gosh.
So now
it was perfect. That's
we're
perfect.
All back here now.
That is crazy. So perfect. Don't you just love when things work out like exactly
I mean,
how you want
to? Serendipity, man. Yeah,
right,
totally.
Exactly. So where do you perform? Do you perform mostly locally around California or just in San Jose, or do you travel throughout the U.S.?
So I, before COVID, of course.
Right. Pre-COVID season.
I tried to perform as much as possible. I actually did a lot of performances back in Europe just because I already had an existing sort of listener base there, just me being from there. And then I also actually did like a small tour of SoFar shows and other shows across the West Coast. Yeah, it was the best time ever. It was just actually right around this time. So now I'm getting all those, you know, memories on Facebook where you're like, this is what you were doing a year ago.
Remember
it's making me extra sentimental. We were doing like Seattle, Portland, all of West Coast. And so it's funny how in 1 year, you know, everything is sort of turned upside down. But I think now, you know, I used to travel around all the time. And now you mentioned, you know, since March, since COVID started, I actually moved back home with my parents here in San Jose. And sort of everything started happening from home, you know, making music videos. And then, of course, doing a lot of, as much as possible, live streaming shows, which is, I think, the new reality for a lot of artists out there.
You know, your biggest challenge emerging into this, you know, what has been the biggest challenge emerging into the music scene in general before COVID and then during COVID now?
Right. I think something that all young artists do not want to hear, absolutely hate to hear, is that it takes time, you know? And I think especially when you're young, you want everything to happen immediately. You have these big dreams, you're ambitious, you're full of energy, and you want to just go ahead. And I think for me, at least personally, the biggest challenge was just sort of accepting that it does take time. You know, there's no way to fast forward everything. And but then also to learn to enjoy the journey. You know, I think when I was younger, I was always sort of in my head, I was in the future. You know, I was like, oh, if only I could be doing this right now or that.
Exactly.
And then, but by doing that, I think you miss a lot of the beauty that happens along the way to getting there. So I think that's been sort of the biggest challenge. And you know, the biggest lesson I think that came out of it too is what I like to think of now is that nothing that comes fast lasts long, and nothing that lasts long comes fast. So I think
really
that's
like
something
that
we as musicians, I think we all, those are the words we live by.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great inspirational message, and I'm sure a lot of young aspiring musicians and young girls who are just kind of dreaming to kind of be where you're at now is really going to have a great impact on just what you said right there.
Oh, that is so nice to hear.
How has the current pandemic affected your career?
So I have been actually extremely lucky, and before I dive into this, I think it's very important to say that I realize that these are extremely difficult times for a lot of people, you know, and there are not many people who are as lucky as I am to be able to continue with work. And, you know, our whole family just tries to sort of remember that we are, you know, we should be extremely grateful for what we have during these times, because we have a whole family. I mean, me, my parents and my brother were all living at home and, you know, thankfully able to continue with our work. So I was actually able to do a small home studio setup, and I've been writing probably more music than I had ever before. You know, I did a lot of collaborations, and it's definitely been sort of a shift in work. I think I was very glad that before this I was able to experience making music in a studio, and because once you see how that process works, it's a lot easier for you to be able to work remotely with people. I think if I had just started working online, it would be a lot harder, but now I kind of know what's expected. So I was just joking with my mom about this the other day. I was like, during this pandemic, our house has turned into like a whole production studio. You know, we do music videos at home. Like I have my dad holding the light bouncer and setting up props, and my brother holding the iPhone, and we're filming that.
Like everybody's got a job now. Let's go.
Exactly. Like we set up like a little home photo shoot thing, and then it's crazy, you know?
You did good lighting. Here's your royalty check.
But you know, I think it's also worth mentioning that the only reason I'm able to do this is because I had the incredible opportunity of working with so many amazing people before this, who have taught me or given me a glimpse into their side of the work. And I think it's definitely harder for artists now, just in the sense that all of a sudden you have to do everything yourself.
Right.
But exactly. I do think it is extremely, extremely beneficial, because once things start sort of getting back in the groove of things, you'll be able to have an insight into so many more different areas that comprise of being a musician, you know. And I think it'll allow musicians to be more involved in different aspects of their work. You know, it's no longer just your songwriting, but now you also understand what it means to put together a music video, to style your music videos, to do a photo shoot. And I think it'll allow us to maybe bring to life more of our vision, just because we will understand the work better.
Sense. Yeah, absolutely. It's almost challenging independent musicians and artists to really, you know, force themselves to get out there more and do more work in terms of building their own career. You know, it's not just about the performing anymore and releasing music. Yeah. You know, there's all that behind, like you said, with the music videos and the photo shoots and getting everything prepped. And the live stream has shot up, you know, sporadically, just in, you know, with how much it's been growing.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's also, in a funny way, I think it's also sort of leveling the playing field a little bit. You know, at this point, it no longer matters if you're Ariana Grande and have a giant team behind you, because at the end of the day, once lockdown takes place, it's just you. And so it's only a matter of, you know, the skills that you have yourself. So I think it's definitely a good time for independent artists to sort of show what they're made of, if you will.
That's awesome. So you said you set up, you know, basically have taken over your entire family's house to create the studio. When you go into the studio, what does a typical studio day look like for you?
Because I'm independent, every day looks a little bit different. But usually the way I split the week is I'll dedicate certain days to music only and certain days to content creation. Mm-hmm. So some days I'll put on my makeup and go, like, put on outfits, film videos, photos, all that stuff. Behind the scenes, I've also started doing a lot of behind the scenes vlog style videos of how everything is created. And then the music days, I usually do not bother to put on makeup. I wake up, I get some coffee. I usually like to work out with my mom every day. That's been our new thing too. Like, we work out in the living room.
Right.
Totally make lots of coffee, and then I'll go upstairs. And usually whenever I'm working on a new song, it usually starts with just me and the piano, sort of figuring out chords. And then once I have a good idea, I'll probably put together a demo in Logic and then come back to it a couple of days later. I usually like to let songs sit for a little bit to see if I still think they're cool, like, a couple of days later.
Right.
If they work in a different environment.
Let us settle in.
Exactly. And you want to know if you were just in a specific mood that day and that's why you loved it so much, or is it just universally good, you know?
Right.
And then something else that I also love to do when I songwrite, and I think it's probably because I grew up as a pianist, I like to take the melody of the lead vocal, and instead of singing it, I like to play it on piano and sort of like almost play it like a classical piece, and just like do like some sort of an accompaniment with the left hand, and the right hand has the melody. But I think by doing that, it sort of strips all the distractions away and just really focuses on the quality of the melody.
Right.
And that's when you start to see, I think, at least for me personally, is that, you know, is this good songwriting, or is it, you know, if you will, lazy songwriting?
Right.
So if
right.
you're pressing C a couple times in a row, you're like, oh, maybe not. Maybe we need to switch that around. but yeah, that's something that I think I started doing more now, especially now that I'm home and I have my piano at hand all the time. That's another thing that I've started sort of applying to my songwriting.
Awesome. What separates you from other artists out there?
I think my background of doing a lot of different musical genres and having that sort of classical education is something that I've seen as sort of the biggest, advantage is a good word for it, especially when I collaborate with other artists, you know, just having a perception of music theory and being able to sort of take notes and you know, do different chord progressions, transpose, all that stuff. But I think I'm also extremely lucky to be able to, like I said before, have worked with a lot of different people and get a lot of experience. And you know, to me, it's an honor to be able to be involved in a lot of different steps of the process. And I think it's something that I also value very much. You know, even before the pandemic, I styled on my own videos. I came up with the concepts, all that stuff. So it's something that I hope to continue to do throughout my career, wherever it takes me.
Right. And it's a great way to kind of see all sides of the box and every detail. Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, I think artists like Lady Gaga, Beyonce, you know, the best of the best. And I think some of the most magical things of their music is the fact that they sort of approach it as a 360 experience. You know, it goes beyond just the songs. It's you're creating your own little world that these songs exist in, you know, visually, with dance, with acting, with fashion. And that is definitely something that I look up to completely.
Right, right. So here's something very interesting. You know, with the rise of social media and independent artists like yourself kind of really thriving and taking over the industry, what is the current market outlook, do you think, as an independent artist in the industry today?
Something that I really, really love that social media has brought is diversity. And I think for me, my personal favorite is the fact that just the word pop, since I am in pop music, no longer has one specific definition.
Exactly.
You know, really the only thing that defines something as pop is that you have a catchy, memorable melody. But what happens in the production, even what language the lyrics are in now, is no longer as relevant, or is no longer a de facto thing that needs to happen. And I think social media has really helped usher that in, especially, and I know everyone's probably talking about it now, but TikTok, you know?
Exactly.
And,
yep.
And it really allows people to relate to music in a more, I think, raw and organic way. It's no longer a label pushing a song to you, but it's the people really claiming a song as their own because they relate to it, not because someone else told them to relate to it. And I think something that social media has brought to is a lot smarter consumer base. People can tell when something is being forced to them. And I think, whereas, I don't know, maybe 5-10 years ago, the industry, the big labels were sort of overtaking social media with their advertisements and all that stuff with ads. But now people have sort of gotten so much of that that you have the reverse effect. People prefer organic content, homemade content, if you will. And I think that's really sort of shifted everything around how even the labels work. You know, you see the biggest artists making alternative homemade videos to their big production videos because that's just what works better on social media, which I think is really funny and is perhaps very fitting to the world we live in now where everyone has to create at home. And I think that goes back to, you know, the idea of having a level playing field.
Exactly. You know, because if you think about it, artists run on the support of their fan base and the consumers, you know, even from, you know, like you referenced, you know, whether you're Ariana Grande with like millions of followers or someone with 20,000 followers, you know, you make your music based on what they are interested in. And that's how you grow the fan base. You know, if there's no fans to listen to the music, then there's no music to put out there. So it's kind of like, you know, it counteracts each other.
Totally. Yeah. And something that I started doing during the pandemic, and I think I will continue to do after, is I started putting like polls on my Instagram stories about lyric ideas. I'll have, let's say, two different options for, I don't know, a verse lyric, and I'll have people vote on them. And I think before COVID, I always thought that releases had to be kept secret until the point where you start promoting it. But now I've learned that it's actually a lot more, the engagement is higher if you take people through the process.
I feel like because they're a part of it.
Yeah, it becomes almost a community song. And I think that's sort of another maybe new tool that's coming out of social media is that you no longer connect with people just in the sense that you guide them through your day and they see a more personal side of you, but they also become part of the creation process, which I think is really cool.
I really like that idea. I might steal that.
totally. Go for it.
What are your next steps in your career as an artist? Say, where do you see yourself in, say, like 5 years' time?
Hopefully on a larger tour. And I mean, I think something that I've learned too as an artist is to sort of focus on smaller, closer goals, if you will. Like right now, I'm working on an EP album, and they're all, it's going to be called Songs from Isolation, and it's all music that I've written during this year, you know, during lockdowns. And it's sort of, I sort of think of it as like a little diary of whatever is happening
right,
this year.
Right, right, right.
Sort of like something that you pass on to your kids, you know, to show them like, look, this is what mom lived through. And so that's my main focus right now, and putting out music videos for that. And then really, I think especially with everything going on, it's really hard to plan way ahead. And I think that's been the thing for all of us right now. We don't know where the world is going to be 1 year from now. You know, will live shows be back? Will we be in more or less the same situation we're in right now? So I think I've sort of shifted my mindset in that sense, that I'm focusing on the next task at hand. And currently that's just diving deep into these songs and the EP.
Right, right. Now, just I'm curious, do you do your own PR, social media marketing?
No, I actually work with a firm. I try to do some of it. So I pick up some of the weight. I reach out to different influencers and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm totally hands off. I do a lot of my own admin work. But I do work with a fantastic, fantastic digital marketing agency in the UK. They're called Burstimo. And what I love about them is they're all super young. They're my age. And they're very, I think their fingers are really on the pulse of what's current. And so a lot of the strategies that I use now in my social media have come from them. So to everyone, to anyone listening, I highly recommend. They also have a YouTube channel where they give free advice and tips to artists and how to promote yourself and really make your music heard in today's environment. So I would highly recommend to any artists listening to this to go check them out. They're fantastic.
Yeah. What was their name again?
Burstimo. Burstimo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I will just make sure we have that so everybody can see that as well. What part of the UK are they based in?
They're in the London area.
A London area? All right. London's beautiful. Awesome. So you have a great energy. Just the way you
I had a lot
yourself.
Of coffee. So.
Caffeine will do that to you.
Yeah, totally.
What you have given a lot of advice, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be so inspired just to listen to what you have said about your life growing up and as a musician and how far you have come. What advice would you give to an upcoming artist in the industry?
I think to focus on all aspects of music and to really realize that perhaps only, as sad as that sounds, at least initially, maybe only 5% of your work will consist of actually making music and, you know, making cool looking videos and photo shoots.
Right.
The rest, 95%, is just putting your music out there. And I think going back to what I said before, you know, realizing that this is going to be a journey and really enjoying yourself in it, but also remember that you really, as cliche as it sounds, to really just keep releasing, to keep working, you know. I think having a consistent release schedule and a consistent theme or branding that you release around, and consistently improving and keep working hard, is at that point, once you have all those things down, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And so I think especially in the beginning, it's, you sort of have to have a little bit of tunnel vision, you know,
not focusing
too much on the numbers, on the streams, on the followers, because if what you're making is good and if you are consistent with it, sooner or later people will catch on to it, you know. So just keep believing in yourself and keep doing it.
Absolutely. Who would be, now this is always a fun question to ask every artist because everything is always different. What would be a dream collaboration for you?
Oh, man. I think Lady Gaga, just because I look up to her so much. I think she is really the ultimate representation of what it means to be an artist in today's day and age. You know, she's a dancer. She is a musician, she is an incredible vocalist, she's an actress, you know, and I think she really embodies everything that I, in my wildest dreams, that I would hope to be able to do one day. So she's just an icon.
That's awesome. I know, I did notice in a lot of your social media, and they talk about it in your press kit there, you do have a very unique style, and it's very vibrant and colorful. And it really matches, you know, that sunshiny, you know, pop style that you have. How did they, you know, is fashion another passion of yours?
Yes, I absolutely love, adore fashion. And I think it comes from, you know, growing up in Europe and being the neighboring country of Italy,
right,
where fashion
absolutely.
Is really, you know, sort of the birthplace of all of that. And I remember my mom buying Vogue when I was young and us going to the magazines together and sort of, you know, saying, oh, this is great. Oh, I don't like this. And so I think fashion has always been sort of a natural extension of my expression along with music. So mm-hmm. now when I write new songs, I almost always have some sort of a visual in my head before I start writing. And that, you know, I usually as soon as I have that first idea, I also have an inkling of what I want the right. fashion to look like for it. And so I think those are really intertwined at this point. And I love that just as with music, you get to play around and explore different sides
really
of your personality. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, I absolutely love it.
That's awesome. And I love a lot of the outfits that you do. If people who are listening out there, if you go to her website or even in your music videos as well, you can see a lot of the just amazing and such cultural, vibrant, colorful outfits that really shows your character. I really love it.
Thank you so much.
So something
that really means a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some really fun little rapid fire questions we're going to do. This is not just about your music. It's get to know you as an artist and as a human being as well. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, as musicians and artists, we kind of get looked at as just a musician or just a singer. And, you know, there's a person underneath there. You know, there's more to just just that voice out there or just that person dancing. So I'd love to, you know, for a lot of fans and super fans that you have out there, they get to really know you as well. And there might be other things that they get to really connect with you and bond with you about.
Love it. Let's go for it.
So nothing too crazy, just some, you know, random rapid fire questions. Okay. Favorite genre?
Pop.
Absolutely.
Can't betray it.
Favorite instrument?
Piano. My one and only true love.
Oh, same here. I'm with you, girl. I'm with you.
Yay!
Favorite artist? Besides yourself.
Oh my gosh, no. of all time, probably Freddie Mercury.
Ooh, that's a good one. Favorite movie?
Currently, that has been La La Land.
Good one. Favorite song?
I've been listening to Vienna by Billy Joel a lot lately.
Oh, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes, Billy Joel. Yes, yes, yes. We will talk about that for so long after this. Hobbies besides music and fashion.
I love, love, love reading. I think it's such a fantastic way to sort of explore your horizons traveling. I think growing up in Europe, my parents took me and my brother really had the opportunity to explore the world through that way. And I think to be able to see different cultures and how people live, religions is really, really eye-opening. So those are probably two of my biggest ones.
That's awesome. And last rapid-fire questions, a little longer. So I don't know if I'd call it rapid.
My answers aren't rapid. You're good.
Okay, then we're good. What country would be a dream to do a tour in?
Oh, my gosh. I think probably Italy. I have this like crazy pipe dream of playing the Verona amphitheater. Ooh. Ever since when I was younger, my parents took me and my brother to see Aida, the opera there, which is like sort of like a classic summer thing that they do. And everyone gets like a little light up candle, electric candle, and then everyone lights it up.
I've seen
and
that see before. Thousand,
yeah, it's just the most incredible experience.
Oh, I can imagine.
And then when I was a little bit older, I saw Adele play there and I was like, there is hope.
Exactly. You're like, if she can do it, I'm a next.
They don't just do opera.
So this new single you have coming out, it's out tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. So this is just awesome. So, but you guys will get it
timing.
Like immediately. So tell me about this new single, Simple. You had mentioned this being the best song yet of yours. Well, what's that all about?
I was super excited when I was writing it. I had actually an idea for it over the summer. It was like a very nice warm summer evening, and our living room is right next to the kitchen, and the living room is where I have my little piano. And I remember I'm not good in the kitchen. Whenever I would travel around, I would just order takeout, so I suck. So everyone usually sends me out of the kitchen so they can prepare dinner. And so my parents and my brother were cooking dinner, and I was next door. The pianos were playing around, and I just heard them, you know, the pots clinking. There was something brewing. It was smelling nice, and they were laughing and talking, and just really got me very emotional. And I got really sentimental and started thinking about just how significantly lives have changed for us this year, you know? And
that's really awesome.
As much as it has been challenging and difficult, something that my parents have always tried to instill in me and my brother is finding the bright spots in even the darkest of times. And it got me thinking about how, despite it being difficult and in many ways sad, it also brought families together in ways that I think nothing has ever before, at least in our lifetimes. And sort of the beauty of being at home and having the ability to slow down life a little bit, you know, having, you know, removing the daily commutes and the rush that we had before in our lives, it sort of allowed us, I think, to, or even forced us a little bit into introspection. Mm-hmm. And that's how I sort of had that idea of simple, you know, of how life has been simplified and how
right.
There have been a lot of beautiful moments that have come out of us staying at home and sort of really focusing on each other and not as much on the rush of the outside world that I think sort of took over our daily routines before all of this happened.
That's awesome. Well, Anya, it has been so great to talk to you. I want to thank you
thank
so
you.
Much for coming and taking the time to do this interview with me. I've learned so much about you. We've learned so much about you and your music.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sure your fan base and all your new fans that you're going to gain from this interview will just fall in love with you and your music and everything.
Oh my gosh.
So before we head out, Anya has this new single to show us called Simple. It is available to you on all major streaming platforms. You can also follow her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget to check out her other music on Spotify, iTunes, and more. She even has some awesome music videos on YouTube as well. This is Anya Kotar, and you're listening to WJMS Radio, Radio Reimagined.